News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Let's get you all set here. You got rain now and more rain moving in. A lot of the heaviest rain of this rain that we're getting right now, this whole front is actually to the west of us in Louisiana and Mississippi. But it will eventually get here, and then we could have some strong storms overnight Friday. But the good news is it's going to get out of here, and we should be fine Saturday afternoon through about Wednesday.
Yeah. Going to dry out some, have some highs in the upper 50s, lower 60s. So there are brighter days on the horizon.
Yep.
But outside of the FM Talk studios right now, it looks like, I don't know if you'd call it Seattle weather or London weather, but
about the same.
And overcast, yeah, and misty. And fog. So that's what we're dealing with this morning.
It is warm, though.
Yeah, it is. Let's see.
64, I think, is what we have right here.
That's okay. What I'm looking at, too. So last night, of course, a couple major things going on. For those of you that like sports, like me, Auburn and Alabama playing, that was a big game. Everyone calls that the Iron... What are they calling it? The Iron Bowl of basketball, or I don't know.
Some do.
Using that term, maybe, I don't know, a little overblown, but another great game last night. But at the same time that was going on, we had a big-time debate in the Republican primary for AL1. You have sitting AL1 Congressman Jerry Carl and sitting AL2 Congressman Barry Moore, the only two candidates who are in the Republican side in that primary. And whoever wins this primary election on March 5th will likely be the winner in the general election in November as well. It would be a major upset for the Democrat to win that one. So this is basically the race. And from the little polling we've seen, I think only one poll that's come out, and that was in mid-January, so just a couple weeks ago. And that one had Barry Moore about 4 points up on Jerry Carl, but still 22% undecided. So that race really could go either way in March. And that's why putting the two on the stage last night in Daphne was so important. You could see them really kind of try to differentiate themselves as two Republicans from Alabama. And first off, I mean, props to the Baldwin County Republican Party. Good job putting this together.
Yep.
I know we were closely involved as a station, but the event was supposed to start at 6. I was ready. I was recording, rolling, and there was about 20 minutes. It was like we were getting ready for the national championship game. Mm-hmm. You had not only the...
You think kickoff's at 6, but it's not at 6.
You start with the prayer, the national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance. That's all great. It's fine. Our guy George Williams got up there after that, said some words. But then, like, full biographies of each candidate before they come to the stage. And then, by the time they introduced Jeff Poor and Peter Albrecht, we're 20 minutes in. And then it was off to the races. Now, I will say, the audio that I have... it's not the best audio. It sounds good. You can hear what they're saying for the most part, but there are some instances where there's a bit of a return or a little bit of feedback. You'll hear Peter Albrecht asking a question, then you'll hear Peter Albrecht on top of Peter Albrecht.
Right.
But these were some of the most interesting moments of the debate, I thought, last night. I'll try to go chronologically. I can't remember exactly what order I pulled these cards from, but I think it got heated about halfway through.
Okay.
Before that, it was a lot of general platitudes and things of that nature. They really kind of started to split when asked about how they feel about the House Freedom Caucus. Now, of course, Barry Moore is a member of the House Freedom Caucus, and Jerry Carl has made it clear that he is not a fan of the House Freedom Caucus. Mm-hmm. So this is where you started to see the two kind of diverge last night on stage, Jerry Carl and Barry Moore.
Moore, you have decided or you determined early on you would affiliate with the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman Carl, you have not. Congressman Carl, you go first. Talk about that decision. What led you to decide against that?
Let me tell you, Freedom Caucus, they tell you how to vote, when to vote, and what to vote on, period. I didn't go to Washington to represent the Freedom Caucus. I don't need the Freedom Caucus. I don't need these Washington-based groups giving me a scorecard. These are the people that I'm answered to. This is my scorecard sitting right here. And when you talk about the Freedom Caucus, You're gonna walk a line with them. Now, they're going to vary for here and there when it's election time. They're pretty smart. But all they do is create problems. They've created problems. There's some great people in the Freedom Caucus. I'm telling you. I know some of them, and they're dear friends of mine. But their political strategies I do not agree with. I think it's disruptive and harmful to this country.
Congressman Moore.
So there you go. Carl's answer. Pretty direct. I don't think he pulled any shots.
No, he talked about he likes some of the people on the caucus, but the way they act politically, he's not a fan of, and he doesn't want to be beholden to them.
Yeah, I thought it was a strong answer, but Barry Moore was second up, and here's what he had to say. Got very passionate in his response.
So when I was running in the district, so many people asked me, would you join the House Freedom Caucus? And I was one of few people that would. Folks, let me tell you something. When I go to the House Freedom Caucus and I meet with the likes of Jim Jordan and Andy Biggs, who authored H.R. 2 to secure the U.S. southern border, the Clay Higgins of the world from Louisiana, those folks, they're in the fight for the right reasons. Jim Jordan, he's not there for anything but to save this nation. So, you know, a lot of times there's a uniparty in Washington, D.C. that is not working for you folks. I just want you to know that. But there are about 40 people in that room, and they don't tell me how to vote. They, matter of fact, 20 of us voted one way on McCarthy, 20 of us voted the other way. They don't tell us how to vote. But when I leave there, I don't feel like I need a shower. There are patriots in that room. And to call them anything less is an insult. Those are the men and women that if this nation is saved, they will save it.
So, strong response from Barry Moore there, backing up his House Freedom Caucus members and saying they don't tell me how to vote. We've voted differently on other things. So, I thought that was a really interesting go-around with the two right there.
Yeah, they also, I don't know if you got the clip or not, I know that there was a discussion about their friendship or their, at least their, what they felt about being a neighbor to Matt Gaetz.
That's
basically.
Right. Yeah, with Matt Gaetz, Florida district, right up against our new District 1.
Exactly.
And Barry Moore, I think, has kind of had more of a past, maybe as friendly with Matt Gaetz. Now, Matt Gaetz is not in the Freedom Caucus, and Barry Moore makes that clear here. But it was a good question from Jeff and Peter, whoever came up with that, to get their take on Matt Gaetz, because he's such a polarizing figure. Here's what they had to say about Gaetz.
Representative Moore, you'll answer the question first. You both share a border with Florida's first congressional district represented by Matt Gaetz. What are your thoughts about Mr. Gaetz and how he conducts himself in Congress?
Do I got to go first on this?
You're first.
I was afraid you were going to say that, Peter. You know, Matt, I know Matt. He's not in the House Freedom Caucus, and he's kind of interesting. He's a friend of mine. When he pulled Kevin McCarthy out of the speakership, I was a little concerned because I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, we've called a play, but we don't have a game plan, you know? And so, Matt, sometimes the things he does, I think, are just for Matt, but there are a lot of times that his policies are effective. He is a conservative in many, many ways, not probably socially conservative like I am, but he's a fiscal conservative. And, hey, look, there are 435 members of Congress, and all of us come from different districts. There's 221 Republicans right now. And honestly, California Republicans are not like an Alabama Republican. And Matt Gaetz is not a lot like me sometimes.
So that's Barry Moore's answer, kind of trying to evade being mentioned alongside Gaetz, but also not trash him at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say that's exactly what he did. He didn't want it, that quote to resonate back in Washington, D.C. one way or the other.
But just like Jerry Carl went directly after the House Freedom Caucus, he also didn't have the kindest of words for Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz, you can write a book about him. I'm not a Matt Gaetz fan. I think the havoc that he creates, I think he's a show horse like so many we have on the floor now. They're better and much more comfortable stomping around on the floor like a bunch of show ponies. They are actually getting work done. Matt's personal vendetta against McCarthy, I think, was horrible. And I think history is going to record it that way. So Matt is not good for the country. I do not care for his policies whatsoever. And, yes, he is involved in this race, too. So keep that in mind.
That was Jerry's answer about Matt Gaetz. Also, this is the one. This is a question that I kept saying they've got to ask this, and you need to ask this every time for both AL1 and AL2. It's how. What does the candidate that's not from Mobile know about Mobile? How can you help us? And then the same question for Jerry Carl. What do you know about the Wiregrass? How can you help the eastern side of your district? They were both asked that last night. Here's their answers.
Talk about some local issues, slightly different.
By the way, again, apologies on the audio. This is the worst it gets right here, but you'll hear the question.
Question here for the two of you. Representative Moore, what are the three biggest local issues facing the people of Mobile Baldwin? Representative Carl, what are the three biggest issues facing the people of the Wiregrass? And Representative Carl, you go first.
The biggest issues, I've been spending quite a bit of time in the Wiregrass. The biggest issues I can find over there, obviously, peanuts and helicopters. Our peanut farmers, their prices are getting paid and guaranteed on those peanut prices. We've got to help them. We've got to get this farm bill through. We've got to find a way to shore them up. And also on the helicopter side, we've got a facility over there that is a gem. Most people don't realize it. We have a base over there, Fort Novosel, the old Fort Rucker, and we get 5%, that's the fifth largest employer in the state of Alabama. I went on that base 2 weeks ago and I was embarrassed. The barracks that we keep these, ask these warriors to spend weeks in, walls covered with mold. We have got to get a congressman over there that's willing to step up and answer and get in a dogfight for that base. That base is too important to this country and to the security of this country. The third is the most important, which is the border. Everyone will talk about the border, and I am with that. It affects the Wiregrass. It affects everything.
Thank you, Representative Moore.
Well, I think initially everybody would say, obviously, shipping, right? I mean, we understand how important the port is, 313,000 jobs, 8 unions that work at those ports. And folks, America has been blessed because we have the Atlantic Ocean to our east, we have the Pacific Ocean to our west, and we have the Gulf of Mexico just to our south. And shipping goods is 13 times cheaper by water than any other farm. So we need to build on that opportunity, create those jobs. And I was in the state legislature. I was Small Business and Commerce Vice Chair. I'm the only member on, or only individual on the stage that has worked for economic development from one end of the state to the other. And there was a bill that we need to do some tort reform to bring Airbus to Alabama. And as chair of that committee that day, I made sure that we passed that legislation to bring those jobs here. When I was in the state legislature, we brought Polaris to Alabama. We brought Remington to Alabama. Ronald Reagan said it this way, the government's idea on the economy is when it's taxing, and when it's moving, you tax it. If it keeps moving, you regulate it. When it fails, you subsidize it. If we will get taxes and regulations out of the way, open up these ports and protect these jobs, folks, this economy will recover.
Yeah, pretty good answers from both of them. Fort Novosel, we'll come back into the conversation later. And coming up, so one of the candidates gets booed. You'll find out who that is. But also, I thought they were both importantly asked about their different votes on the NDAA, the defense bill.
Yep.
And they were asked about the deep state as well. So a lot of more great audio from that last night. It got much more heated than what we've played to this point. But as you can see, they're both Republicans, but they are not the same candidate.
It's interesting on the one of the candidates being booed last night. It was kind of on a softball question.
It
really
was, yeah. At the end of the debate.
Yeah, kind of a softball question. And it got the crowd fired up against the guy that answered it. On the way, 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, and Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. 824, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile at the bottom of the hour. And, of course, your reaction to anything we've got going on this morning is welcome. The text line, 251-343-0106.
Reviewing the debate last night for the Republican primary for AL1 between Jerry Carl and Barry Moore. A lot of text on that. We'll hopefully get to those before the end of the hour. And also, we'll replay the debate in full. I've got 51 and a half minutes long, and that's from when they start debating. So we'll play that in full at some point here on FM Talk 106.5. One of the biggest questions last night that you knew was going to get asked was about the new defense bill that was signed. And the two candidates, Jerry Carl and Barry Moore, voting on opposite sides of the NDAA, they were asked about that last night.
Congressman Carl, Congressman Moore, you both.
By the way, how great a job is Jeff Poor doing?
Great job.
He's if you can't tell, he's one of the moderators.
He's keeping it on course in between the lines.
He's not letting them slink out of any answers.
really didn't.
Back to Jeff.
Both voted differently on the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. Explain your decision and why it led you to vote the way you did, Congressman Carl.
The NDAA, I supported and will continue to support. That is a policy we put together for the defense industry. We use it as a planning tool for the defense industry. There are certain things in there that we need. We had two ships that also that's on there. We have $40 million going to Fort Novosel. We have got a lot of things going into Huntsville. We have a lot of things. We have to defend this country. We have a 5.2% pay raise for our active members. We have a responsibility to take care of these people. We have a responsibility they don't live in the junk that they have to live in. We got to take pride in our military. And not supporting the NDAA is about as un-American as you can get. I'm sorry. I can find several little things that you can say, well, I'd vote against it. One little thing? Give me a break. I can find you 25 or 30, but you know what? This country comes first.
Thank you, Congressman Carl. Congressman Moore.
So the NDAA, tough vote for a veteran. But let me tell you, folks, the $600 million that was in there to go to Ukraine, I was a no vote on that. We had the abortion travel stripped out in the July NDAA that I voted for. The transgender surgery, we had stripped it out. All the Green New Deal stuff that Biden and them had in the NDAA, we had stripped it out. We sent it to Schumer in the Senate, and 8 of the 9 things that we thought as Republicans, or conservatives at least, should be in there was stripped out. So Schumer sends it back to us, and folks, he doesn't attach H.R. 2, which is the border security bill we passed out of Judiciary. Instead, they reauthorize FISA. FISA is how they got Donald Trump and General Flynn. It's how they did 287,000 unwarranted searches on your social media and the stuff you did in the last couple of years. Why on earth, if we're sitting here fighting for the American people, would we reauthorize the FBI in an election year to spy on Donald Trump and American citizens?
That was
a no-go for me.
Thank you, Congressman.
So, again, interesting answers there. I thought Barry Moore had a really strong night last night. I thought Jared Carl had winning moments also. And hopefully we'll get to, they were asked about being able to bring things to your district while also limit spending nationally. But maybe the biggest audience reaction came at the end of the night. Plot twist of a question. They were asked to name something nice, say something nice
about the other,
about their opponents.
Yeah.
And Barry Moore was up first, and he tried his best to say something nice about Jerry Carl, but I'll play this for you. This is where the booing comes in.
Congressman Moore, we'll wind it down on this. Say something positive about your opponent that maybe they have accomplished during their tenure in the House.
So I think Jerry's made a lot of friends, you know, some across the aisle and some within our own party. Look, everybody likes Jerry, all right? And it's unfortunate that we're in this race. And so it's a matter of differentiating records, but you can't help but like Jerry. You can't help but like Barry. And Heather says I should smile more during these debates, and I apologize for that. I'm a little intent sometime on saving the nation, but he's a guy that people like. I like Jerry fine.
All right. Jerry's turn now.
Congressman Carl, you do the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had high hopes working with Barry. We came in at the same time. He got on the Ag Committee. And the Veterans. We worked hard to get him on the Veterans Committee. We thought he would be our voice on the Veterans Committee. He gave that up to go and join the Judicial Committee and let all of our veterans down. And that's when I got real frustrated. Our veterans do not...
Please.
Our veterans do not have a voice in that committee anymore. So if you want something nice, I mean... Barry's got a good-looking portion of a nice condo in Washington.
Was that a you suck there? He said he had a nice portion, a nice condo.
That was the nicest thing he could think about.
Ooh,
Barry Moore.
Oh, man.
Man. Yeah. Jerry generally is very nice guy.
Uh-huh.
And even Barry Moore said that's the way Washington views him, the people he work with. He works with Republicans and the other side of the aisle. Also, did you notice that Barry Moore pointed out that he is a veteran, mm-hmm. and that's why it was a tough vote no on the NDAA.
Yeah.
But he pointed out, I am a veteran, by the way, so that made the vote even tougher. Interesting conclusion to that last night, for sure.
Yeah, we'll try to, a couple more clips I want to play for you, some really important questions that were asked. We'll get to those at the end of the hour. But up next, Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Plenty of interesting things to discuss with him about local politics and news.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwood. Formerly, so you know who we are. And Rob, we call him Rob, but he's Rob Holbert, Lanyap Mobile. Joining us on a Thursday to kick some stuff around. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are y'all?
Doing fine.
Had a debate last night. That's kind of what our focus has been so far this hour, playing quotes, clips from the AL1 primary debate. Jerry Moore. I've only done that about 50 times. Jerry Carl and Barry.
That sounds like they're a love child.
Yeah. Not a lot of love.
Not last night. They got after it.
Not much love.
Yeah, the mud was slung officially last night as two guys, two Republicans, two Trump supporters trying to differentiate themselves. And I'd say they did a pretty good job of that last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you put two politicians in a room and tell them they've got one spot, man, you're going to get a fight. It's tough. It got a little testy. I wasn't there, but I read the coverage and seen some of the video from it. And it was, there were definitely some shots taken. They've got to figure out a way to differentiate themselves. And I mean, you know, it seems pretty clear. A lot of that's going to be Freedom Caucus. Involvement with the Freedom Caucus. I mean, everybody, both of them are, you know, toeing the line with Trump and saying, hey, you know, I'm with Trump on these things. So I think a big part of it is really about particular votes and particular alignments with groups like the Freedom Caucus or not, you know?
Yeah, it seemed that I don't know if it was just the crowd reaction. It sounded more like it was a pro Moore crowd in Daphne last night. They were more vocal.
That's what Kyle Hamrick, our reporter, told me that he said it definitely seemed that way. He said that Jerry even got booed at some point.
Yeah, but that was when he was asked to say something nice about his opponent, and he brought up his Porsche and his nice condo.
Yeah, he's like, he sure got a pretty young girlfriend and a nice fancy car.
Yeah, it was a little backhanded for sure.
I think that's what we would call a backhanded compliment.
I think so. I think it would be the backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it was.
He's got a good-looking toupee. I don't know.
It was a little rough.
It went further than I thought it would with the personal insults last night. That was for sure. But very important race there that will be decided March 5th. Whoever wins that. Very much likely to be the AL1 congressman going forward. Can't say the same about AL2, as that will be decided in the general, likely a close general election. So we'll see as we move forward with that. But, you know, neither of those men on stage last night probably have much of a chance of being named Donald Trump's running mate. I would go ahead and say that. I don't think you'll see a VP Moore or Carl anytime soon, but there have been some names floated around, Rob. I know Elise Stefanik, congresswoman out of New York, popular name, Ben Carson, really go with Tim Scott. But someone with a certainly bright political future from our state has also been thrown around in that list, and that's Katie Britt. What do you think about Katie Britt after not even a full term as senator being named among the VP candidates?
Yeah, I think, I wrote my column about it this week. I've already got some people who are angry at me about it. But, I think, first of all, I doubt very sincerely she will be the pick, but if I were her, I would turn it down. I think it's a terrible political move for her. She doesn't need it. She's a rising star, man. I mean, she is going to be, I think, a big star in the Republican, in the GOP. Mm. And, you know, if you go look at the track record of people who've worked for Trump, it ain't good. Ask Jeff Sessions how it worked out, you know, ask Mike Pence how it worked out. You know, you can go down the list. There's not it's not a pathway to future greatness. I think it would be a big mistake if she were to be selected. I would just, if I were her, I would just give him Tommy Tuberville's number. He already has it, but you know, to give it to him and say, hey, call Tommy. You know, if you want someone from Alabama,
the other thing that said that
she's got a career that's gonna. She's got a career that's going to outlast Trump. I mean, and at this point, you know, she would, by the time she's up for re-election, if he wins election again, he would be headed out. So, you know, I don't think it's I think it's a smart move.
And just experience. I mean, 3 years ago, she was with... This is her first elected office, a right. U.S. senator. So 3 years ago...
Well, I mean, you're gonna get the argument that Obama did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, Obama came in after 2 years of being a senator.
Well, I can just say this is up close. I'm doing this. I mean, I was standing at a parade, a Mardi Gras parade with Katie Britt like 2.5 years ago, and she was just somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So headed up the Business Council of Alabama, and maybe the year before that, she was the president of the PTA. I don't know. That's a long way.
From the... Vice President's office in D.C.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Katie's fine, and she's a rising star for sure. Well, but that's a heck of a jump.
Well, like you said, I mean, she could be a senator for the next 60 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
50 years, I don't know. But
yeah, I think she's got a long political career in Alabama. If she wants, she could probably run for governor someday. She could probably, I mean, you know, the sky's the limit for her, I think. And I mean, again, just. If you look at the landscape that is strewn with the burned out carcasses of people who work for Donald Trump, who have no political future left, and we've got a assuming he were to be elected again, this would be a 4-year period in which all you would know that is coming is a lot of chaos. So,
and he's
why somebody would want to sign on to that, I have no idea.
He has certainly ended careers with people who had at once aligned with him. But I just wonder, you know, Glory, if you're vice president, Glory is right around the corner. I mean, she's got such a long political career ahead of her. But if you're in that position and you have the chance to be vice president, the risk reward there is really, I mean, she'd have to dodge Trump's hate for 4 years and then win a presidential election. But it would be more possible if she was coming out of the VP chair than just as Senator Katie Britt.
And,
so
and
I wonder if that reward.
I mean, that's an assumption. I mean, that's an assumption that she doesn't spend 4 years having to try to defend all sorts of insane behavior. So, there's a lot of stuff out there that is.
And the other Rob.
It's a tough one to follow.
Would Katie Britt, she's made the decision to run for U.S. Senator, but that's not running for the presidency or the vice presidency. Is that what she wants? Does she want to be somebody at that platform? Maybe not.
I don't know, man. You know, Dan, when I worked on Capitol Hill, I think, the old adage that, every member of Congress, every senator gets up every day and sees a future president in the mirror while they're shaving.
Hmm.
I think that's just the way it is. I mean, people who are in politics at that level are ambitious. I mean, that's across the board. You know, I think almost anybody up there, if they said you could be president, they would do it.
And Katie's seeing the president when she's shaving her legs.
Yeah, she wouldn't be shaving her face.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Also, let's bring it back locally here real quick, because this was something that when it came up, I guess the news came up from Lanyap last week or maybe the week prior. You had the HBCU All-Star game that came to town. Flags were raised when the founder or co-founder of the game was arrested days before. They were set to play in Mobile for check fraud. But anyway, the game goes on.
That's a bad sign. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a bad sign. Game goes on. You bring all these athletes down to play in the game. And then it turns out the bowl game couldn't pay their hotel bill. So Visit Mobile, with between a rock and a hard place, you either pay the $30,000 to put them up for the night, or you put a lot of student athletes on the street for the night.
And you end up to be a national story.
So Visit Mobile pays the $30,000, and now Councilman Joel Daves is saying, hey, should we even be putting money into these games?
Yeah, I mean, I think Joel is right to look at this stuff. And, this is, it goes back to the whole thing of, of spending millions of dollars on LAD because it's going to host a couple of games a year. And, the school system is taking it on, and they're going to spend school system money to upgrade this stadium. But the reality of it is, and I'm not criticizing Visit Mobile. I think they did what they had to do because it was a mess. The problem that occurs here is that we're not vetting these things,
Exactly.
If you remember, there was some kind of a summer football league.
Yep.
Not that long ago that was playing out there, that they had people in hotel rooms who were getting kicked out of the hotel because nobody was paying for it.
Yep.
And this is the same kind of circumstance. you know, when you have, they've got to vet these things. I mean, if somebody's going to rent Ladd and say, I'm going to host these games, they need to show them that they have some money. I mean, this like, let's rent it out and say we have an event. Well, I mean, to any clown that is just comes down the street and says we have an event, this is not a good plan, and it's hardly what this whole thing has been sold as, that this is going to be these big games out there that generate millions of dollars. I mean, there were, I think, fewer than 600 people there, and from what I understand, that's being very generous.
Wow. I didn't even realize that, but you're exactly right. These people are, these organizers have got to be vetted out so something like this doesn't happen again. I mean, it was a mess.
This is where you are. We've got the school system that is going to run Ladd Peebles. The school system isn't in a position. They don't do this. This is not what the Mobile County Public School System is designed to do, is run a stadium. They're designed to educate students, and that's what their job is. And so now you're going to have these types of things going on out there, and I don't have a lot of faith in it at this point. I've said this all along. I think it's a boondoggle. It's a waste of money. I think you're going to look 10 years down the road and say, wow, what a massive waste of money that was out there. And, you know, along with the, you know, as we're building football stadium after football stadium, and you know, now that Ladd is going to be right next to another football stadium, it's kind of nuts, man. And this is no ROI. I'm just saying.
Yeah, just to ask the schools to book talent and events on its face just seems like a bad idea. So, the bigger the reservation, generally the bigger deposit you have to put down on it. So I don't know exactly how all of that works, like you said, but vet the people first. You got to. Yep. Rob, if folks want to sign up online and get these great investigative news stories delivered as they happen, how can they do that? And also, how can they pick up the new copies on stands?
Well, you can pick us up on stands at our purple boxes all over town. And also, of course, you can go online at lanyapmobile.com, get signed up. It's $1 for the first month, $6.50 a month after that. We have news breaking every single day, folks. It's a daily paper online, so come out and read it. You're missing out if you're not. And thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, man. You too, Rob. Rob Holbrook with Lanyap Mobile on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, coming up. More audio from last night's debate. I thought they were asking some very important questions, Jerry Carl and Barry Moore. We'll get to that, and also your texts about the debate coming up, 251-343-0106. It's 852 on FM Talk 106.5. It's the part where I talk. 1-800.
Yeah, that'd be it.
This is it. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, based right here in Mobile. Trey Bennett and his crew have been doing great work for over 15 years, working the entire Alabama Gulf Coast, making junk disappear, and they get great reviews. Actually, over 245 five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, left by real people that really got 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come by and get rid of their junk. Latest review, 5 stars, left by Heather, says customer service was great. They were upfront with pricing. The gentlemen who came were very friendly and fast. Overall, great experience. And so many other 5-star Google reviews that echo what Heather had to say one day ago. And I know many of us here at the station have used 1-800-GOT-JUNK as well, and 5-star review for sure. They'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day, whether you have them out at your business or your residence. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK today or set up your appointment online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Art's on the text line. He says that he was in attendance last night, and as a veteran, he was very disappointed that it never came up about veterans, the VA, helping illegal immigrants, money that should be going to the veterans and help that should be going to the veterans. He was disappointed that question was not asked.
Yeah, there were a couple mentions of the VA last night, and Jerry Carl, his son, served. Barry Moore, apparently a veteran, and also has family members who served. So that came up. I can't remember. I think they mentioned that the VA was treating our veterans poorly. But you're right, Art. That wasn't a direct question last night. They were asked about the difference in bringing the bacon home, you know, in some of these bills, getting things done for your district versus trying to limit fiscal spending. Here's how they answered the questions last night, Barry Moore and Jerry Carl.
Mr. Carl, how do you claim the mantle of fiscal conservatism and yet at the same time try to be a breadwinner for the district on things like the I-10, Mobile Bayway, and bridge?
Everybody in here will get upset if they can't come across that bridge. Don't you think we need to serve the people in our district? And being a fiscal conservative, I'm good with that, but I'm also realistic in that when there's grant money, you talked about the grant money earlier. I don't remember if it was you or Peter, you talked about the grant money. That's a half of 1% of the budget, excluding the defense side. So it's a very small percentage of money. I choose to use it. I get radios for Escambia County. Now their law enforcement is safe. I get fire trucks in Foley or here in Baldwin County. I pave roads. There's so many things. This room is full of mayors supporting me because they know I'll go to bat with them. When you look over in the Wiregrass, they're starving to death. They get zero. For 3 years, they've got no money. Their base is decaying, and they get no money for their cities and help. So, yeah. I'm not going to apologize for going after that and helping my cities, helping my state government.
And by the way, second time there that Jerry Carl basically called Fort Novosel, formerly known as Fort Rucker, an embarrassment. Said yep. that the feds aren't spending the money there like they should.
Right.
Here's Barry Moore's response to that same question.
Congressman Moore.
So I say this all the time. You can't bring home the bacon and save a nation. But at the same time, we brought $3.2 million in grants. Folks, I don't do a lot of earmarks, but I'm big on infrastructure and defense. And, you know, you don't get rated the most conservative member from the Alabama delegation unless you're voting conservative. But there's a challenge, like, when you look at the people out here, it's like Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I'm in the fight to save a country, and I'm in a fight to kind of cut the spending, this runaway just trajectory of inflation that we're seeing out there on this 34 trillion now in 105 days. But to say that our bases have suffered is simply not, that's not true. I've been to the base over six times and I've looked at the VTOL aircraft. I know what's coming. I'm the only veteran in this race. My son-in-law was an Army Ranger, 82nd Airborne. My brother's a retired Lieutenant Colonel in the Marine Corps. He's F-18 pilot. I love our soldiers and I fight for our soldiers and I fight for the defense of this nation. But you may not get a walking track if I'm your congressman. I apologize.
Thank you, Congressman.
But I will balance the budget.
So another question there where the two kind of diverge. And I guess if you want to kind of boil down the gist I'm getting from each candidate, Jerry Carl, much more willing to work with whoever it is in Congress.
Yeah,
but also he
was out of the aisle, actually.
And he really highlighted his relationships on the local level with mayors and local politicians.
Yeah, down here, right.
He said he's going to bring the money back to our area for things that we need, like the bridge. Barry Moore, he thinks he's on a...
He's on a mission to balance the budget.
He's on a mission to save America.
Yeah.
You heard him say... he say those exact words that he's trying to save America, and he's willing to not bring some money back for certain programs if it means lowering the overall federal budget.
Yeah.
But the two certainly went after each other quite a bit last night. I wish I could get to the question where they were asked about the renaming of Fort Rucker, and Congressman Carl kind of gets perturbed. He goes back to the question about the vote on the NDAA.
Mm-hmm.
And starts to go after Barry Moore again
on that.
So we will play that full debate. We'll play it in its entirety at some point, maybe Midday Mobile today. We'll see. Maybe it's tomorrow. But you will get a chance to listen to that entire thing.
Eric on the text line, 251-343-0106. When you played the clip of Jerry when he was supposed to say something nice about Barry Moore, actually did not.
Right.
And Eric, I think he's alluding to that. He said... At least he said the truth about Moore. That's what I like about Jerry Carl. He's open and honest. Okay, anyway, that's one opinion on the text line right there.
Yeah, and appreciate the text this morning. A lot of people thinking, one person said Jerry should change his slogan to Jerry Just Finished rather than Just Jerry. Hmm. But there's a lot of people who thought Jerry Carl had the better performance last night and said they're still planning on voting for him.
Their differences are now wide open to examine, for sure, right? 8:59 with Dan and Dalton and Jeff Poor is next.